For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's mother and father marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Barney's. My name is Albie. I'm one of the ministers here. It's great that you can join us to celebrate Christmas. It is a great day for us to be able to gather together, to take some time aside from the running around, and actually to spend time with family, but also thinking about what God has done and what that actually means for us in terms of peace and joy, and why Christmas is something really worth celebrating. Let me start off by asking, though, what do you think is something worth waiting for? What do you think is worth waiting for? Let's see this. Am I in control or you're in control? I'm in control. For those who are new to us here at Barney's, we sometimes have this little bit at the beginning going, does the clicker work or not? It seems like it does. I'm getting the thumbs up from the back. I was reading about the first McDonald's that was opened up in Soviet Russia. This was 35 years ago. Just as Russia was opening up, and McDonald's was a brand new thing. McDonald's was the taste of the West, what life was like on the other side of the Iron Curtain. They estimated that there was going to be around maybe 1,000 people for the opening of the restaurant, especially because in one sense, even though everyone was really excited, the Big Mac cost a lot of money. For the people there, it would cost more than half a day's wage on an average salary, just for that hamburger. So if you grab the average Sydney wage, this burger would cost you around $200. So not a lot of people they were expecting to come along, at least for the first time. They estimated there was going to be 1,000 people for the launch of Macca's. They ended up serving more than 30,000 people on that first day. People had to line up for over a kilometre, and they would line up for 8 hours to get a Big Mac. Now, 8 hours for a Big Mac, that is crazy. You've got a picture there. Let's see if we can go into the next picture there on the slide. You can see people sort of streaming out, a bit of a crowd. It looks a little bit like Disney in some ways. But then you see that same crowd stretching and goes around, and I don't know for how long beyond. Apparently it reached several kilometres. What would you be willing to wait for? Maybe it's a Big Mac, but I suspect for most of us here, probably not. Maybe you're waiting for finally the end of the year. Maybe this year has been hard for you and you're just waiting to get to the end of that and hoping that come January we can start afresh. Maybe you've been waiting to go on a holiday. You've been looking forward to it for the entire year. If you're a kid, and maybe even if you're not a kid, maybe you've been waiting for Christmas, jumping out of bed and running to the tree and opening the presents, celebrating with food, not having to go to school or to work. If you're that latter bunch, if you've ever waited for Christmas, it is nothing compared to the guy that we meet here in Luke chapter 2. We wait for Christmas maybe for a few weeks, 12 months at the most. The guy that we meet in Luke chapter 2 that was read out for us, he has been waiting for Christmas his entire life. He has been waiting for years. Now, in the passage that was read out for us, we meet two people. We meet Anna and Simeon. And we're going to focus on Simeon. But both of them have been waiting for Christmas for ages. Not to open Christmas presents, not to see their grandchildren or to have a couple of weeks off. Simeon, do you see what he's been waiting for? In verse 25, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel. Now, that's a strange phrase for us, but that basically means that he's been waiting for God to comfort his people and to bring peace and to bring blessing in the brokenness of our world. That's exactly what we need. And in verse 26, God had told him through the Holy Spirit that Simeon is not going to die until he's seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, the idea behind that is huge. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, God had promised that a king was going to come. Not just any king, but God's king, his special king. That's who the Messiah is, that all of Israel has been waiting for, including Simeon. And God had said to Simeon that before he dies, he will see this Messiah. Now, that's a big promise. And here, Mary and Joseph bring baby Jesus to the temple when he's around 6 weeks old. And Simeon picks him up, this little baby, and he says, I can die now. I'm good to go. Now, that's a strange thing to say. We've got three kids. Eva is our youngest. She's almost 13. And when she was born, it was very exciting. We had all sorts of visitors coming. And as you do when you have a newborn, you pass her around to family and friends. And not once did someone pick up Eva and say, my life is now complete. I can die now. I'm good to go. As gorgeous as she was, that didn't happen. But here is Simeon, a complete stranger. And with complete contentment, he says, I'm ready to die. The last thing that I'm waiting for, it is done. Now, that's our first point for this morning. For Simeon, for Anna, and we'll see a little bit later, even for us, the wait is over. Christmas is here because Jesus is here. But why is Jesus so important? Why is Simeon ready to die now that he's met this little baby? And to answer that, we need to look at his speech in verses 29 to 32. And he says effectively, Jesus is salvation. Let me read verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. In other words, I can die happy. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation. This month-old baby that he's holding in his hands is the salvation of God, which is surprising. This baby is salvation for us. Now, why do I need salvation? Yeah, we think about Christmas time, we think about fairy lights and Christmas trees and presents. Remember that idea about the consolation of Israel? It's the same thing. It's talking about being saved. It comes from the Old Testament, around 700 years before Jesus is born. The people keep turning their backs on God. And so they face God's judgment. They deserve God to be angry at them. And actually, that's all of us. All of us, because of the way that we live, God should be angry at us. Now, even though that should be the end of the story, God should reject us, God promises to comfort his people, to bring consolation and to bring salvation. All the things that we've done against God, all the things that they've done against God, all of their guilt and rebellion and wrongdoing, the things that cut us off from a relationship with God, Jesus is going to forgive. Those things which mean God is angry at us, those things are taken away. That's the salvation here in Luke chapter 2. It's about a relationship with God. Instead of being that guilty kid who's actually done the wrong thing, we are saved. Simeon picks up this little baby and says, here is that promise from 700 years ago. Here is salvation. And he has a name. It's Jesus. Did you see who the salvation is for? In verse 32, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Israel are basically the people who are Jewish, and the Gentiles are basically people who are not Jewish. In other words, this salvation is for everyone. Now, whenever you look at Google Maps, you type in an address, it gives you normally different routes on how to get somewhere, different ways to get to a particular place. One of the routes might take you 20 minutes. One of them might take 23 minutes. You can avoid tolls. You can pay a bit extra and get there faster. Different ways to get to the same place. Sometimes people think that it's the same thing when it comes to God, that you can pick and choose different routes. And so there's the Buddhist way, there's the Muslim way, there's the Christian way. I can do good things, and I try to do more good things than bad things. I try to do that way. I used to go to church when I was a kid. All sorts of different ways that we try to get to the same place. The Bible says there's only one way, and it's God's way. It's Jesus. I remember when I was talking to a friend in high school, and he said, isn't it arrogant to say that every other religion is wrong? But if this is the way that God has given us, isn't it actually arrogant to say that God is wrong? That whatever way that I choose to go, God has to be happy with it. No, this is the way that God has given us. And especially if we see how Jesus is going to save us. In verse 35, Simeon says to Mary that a sword is going to pierce her soul. He's talking about what is going to happen down the track with Jesus. See, the baby we celebrate at Christmas, he grows up. And his mission is to die on a cross for us. So that all the wrong things that you've done, all the wrong things that I've done, everything that blocks us off from God is gotten rid of through the death of Jesus. Here is the wonderful gift of Christmas. God gave his son to die so that people like you and me, we can be forgiven. The wait is over. Jesus is salvation, which leads us to the third point. It leaves us with a decision to make. Because there's two directions to go here. Simeon says to Mary in verse 34, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. See, Jesus divides the world into two groups. There are those who oppose him, people like the religious leaders in his day, people who thought they're fine without Jesus, and so they get rid of Jesus. But if Jesus is the only way to be saved, that means falling and one day coming face to face with God. But we've rejected his son. That will not go down well. But if we see who this baby is, like Anna did, like Simeon did, like millions of people around the world, even today, this child causes many to rise, being lifted up because Jesus brings life. He brings a relationship with God. He brings joy to the world for those who follow Jesus. I mentioned at the start the idea of lining up for McDonald's, you know, to try it for the first time. I remember the first time that I went to Pizza Hut as a kid. Now, it stuck in my mind because this was a big occasion. I grew up in Wagga Wagga, and Pizza Hut came to Wagga for the first time, and when it came, it was a big thing. I was in year three at the time. Now, Wagga's not a huge place, but for whatever reasons, one of the girls in our year, her dad was the manager of Pizza Hut. And so because it was clearly educational, we went to Pizza Hut as an excursion. And it was exciting. trying store-made pizza for the first time for a kid in year three, life doesn't get better than that. Fast forward to now. You know, Pizza Hut is hardly around, but whether it's Pizza Hut or Domino's, pizza is a good thing, but it's not that exciting, is it? I wonder if we can be like that when it comes to Christmas. You know, we're so used to it. We don't actually realize how amazing Christmas is. You know, Christmas is so full of trying to find a car park at Chatswood, working out what do I need to buy from Woolies before the shops close. It's working out the cards and the presents, a thousand different things. Maybe we actually need to take a step back and to take another look at Christmas. Or maybe we're actually coming along for the first time and we're looking at Christmas for the first time. See why Christmas is so exciting. Why Simeon is so excited. This baby Jesus is God's salvation for us. And we can pass him over. We can ignore him. You know, like when you get those Christmas cards from the bank manager or from the local member of parliament, you pick it up and then you just move on. We can do that. Or we can realize that here is God's present to us. And it's his own son. Over these holidays, can I encourage you, maybe read through the rest of Luke's gospel. Come back in January. Keep coming along here to church. We sometimes run courses to see who Jesus is. You can use the QR codes to find out about them. The question from Luke is, will you fall on Jesus because we just move on? Or will you rise on Jesus and, like Simeon, be blown away by this baby born at Christmas and to see here is the greatest gift that there is, God giving us his son? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are, that you are a God who is not distant, but you are a God who is close. You are a God who sees our brokenness, and you even see the wickedness inside of ourselves. But instead of pushing us away and rejecting us, you stepped into the world by giving us your son, that he would be born at Christmas time, that he would die at Easter, to bring us salvation. We pray that with Christmas that we can get excited by all the good things that you give us. Help us to be excited by the deep down meaning of Christmas, that here is your son coming to save us. And we pray this in his name. Amen.